The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum of Accelerated Government Strategies, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Women of Washington is a series of weekly radio interviews with Washington, D.C.'s most ambitious and influential female executives, role models for the next generation of Washington leaders. Aileen and Gigi interview the most accomplished women in Washington who share their life lessons and secrets to success.
Welcome to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Aileen Black.
And I'm Gigi Shum.
Today in the studio, we have Winifred Wilson, Executive Director, House of Ruth, and Shannon Hagee, Senior Vice President of Business Development at InterImage Incorporated, and the President of FCA Bethesda. During today's show, we're going to discuss the importance of giving back not only for the soul, but also as an added bonus, good for the career. Ladies, first, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy day today to join us here at Women of Washington.
Great to be here.
Fantastic to be here. So ladies, before we get started to talk about today's topic, let's learn a little bit about your backgrounds. So Shannon, we'll start with you. How did you get into an IT career for the federal government and then end up volunteering for FCA?
Well, it kind of came about a little bit at random. I started with a temp job way back at SAIC, and that turned into a great 11-year career there. I switched jobs there about every 2 years, working on anything from fun gas mask programs to then moving into the IT field and supporting the Department of Homeland Security, NASA, and others here in the Virginia area. With FCA, when I moved to Virginia in 2006, I started looking at a couple of different organizations that I could get involved in. And that one of many that I looked at just rose to the top. So I've been actually participating with them since 2007, have been on the board since about 2008, and have moved through three or four different positions on the board and am now president.
So let's start with SAIC. What was it about that you said you started as a temp? What was it about this field or about that company that just made you think, okay, this is right for me?
Well, in the area I grew up in, Aberdeen, and I had moved back from like the Baltimore area, it was just a very nice up-and-coming company. When I went and interviewed there and I was placed within like 3 hours, the people that I interviewed with were just fantastic. And I've always been kind of selective about who I want to work with and for. And so I could tell right off the bat that I was going to have good mentors and a good place to grow in my career with that company.
Winifred, how about you? You have been with House of Ruth. What made you pursue a career in nonprofits?
Well, I actually have been in social services for over 20 years now. And I started out working with children and families many, many years ago as a case manager. And really, prior to that, I just felt such a commitment to community service, and a lot of that came from my family. And so I really pursued that very early on in social work in undergraduate and graduate school. And from the line really came up through the system to work then in organizational development and training and working with organizations to resolve issues using my experiences from working with the children and families that they were serving. And so I actually came to the national level at Child Welfare League of America and worked around the country and then in other parts of the world, working to really shore up the quality of services in public and private organizations. So my coming to the House of Ruth in the District of Columbia really was my bringing together public and private service in one place with a specific group of women and children and families to resolve issues of domestic violence and homelessness and services to children so that there could be long-term independence. So it really was a combination of both a really early commitment and some, I think, great opportunities to pursue in public and private service.
Let's talk about that early commitment for a minute. You mentioned that you really got this love of social work from your family growing up? What was it? Was there that was it just something that was valued in your family, or were there something specific that, that
definitely was something valued in my family? My parents were both very engaged in the community, and they would take us with them. I am one of 10, and we're not the Kennedys. And so my father frequently worked with his brother's construction company. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, but she had a business at home. She was very active in our church, and she had a community ministry. And so I saw, and very early on, was involved myself, sometimes not by choice, but eventually I came to both understand and have a passion for sort of social justice kinds of activities.
Ladies, virtually all of our guests have at one point had somebody or something in their life that was a major influence on them growing up. And Winifred, you mentioned your family and how you were integrated in the church with your mom, and how you did public service that way. Shannon, did you have a similar influence like that in your life?
I would say, you know, my family was always a great influence. But when I go back to what got me started into charity, I look back into my history, and I started doing some interesting independent things that I didn't even realize when I was younger were charity things, such mm-hmm. as I developed a Carnations for Charity program in high school, and I developed a skydiving for multiple sclerosis thing many years later. So I always found that there was something that I was trying to do, whether I realized the impact it was going to have or not. And now, you know, as I've aged and come through and developed mm-hmm. relationships with charities like House of Ruth, I've really been able to focus around the long-term goals and missions of a few charities that mm-hmm. are local. They help children that are right here in our communities, and that has become something that I can dedicate myself to moving forward year over year.
So your parents both integrated that into your lives growing up. Do you see a lot of parents doing that with their kids here in the D.C. area?
Absolutely.
Yes, I agree.
Yes,
you think it's an important part?
I do.
Absolutely.
Do you have any programs like that at House of Ruth where you have kids involved?
Well, we actually do. And I mean, they are not ongoing. They tend to be short term, very focused. I was at one of our programs just last evening, and there was a community service person there working with four of the children, you know, around things that they could do in the community. But it was also centered around tutoring. So it served a dual purpose, and we try to engage them in activities along the way. But depending on the program, we have to be somewhat careful about how we do it, because they are also, many of them, children of victims of domestic violence. And so we want to keep that confidentiality and protection of the children, and at the same time make sure that they have experiences that will help them to lead healthy lives.
Shannon, at what point in your career did you determine that charity involvement had to be part of your DNA for your career growth?
Well, I mean, going back to, I've been doing things that were charity for a long time. It was really when I got involved with FCA Bethesda that I realized that it was going to be a long-term commitment. And, you know, I put myself through college. I did a lot of those things on my own. So being able to give back, and now that I know that I'm in a position to do so, it was like, this is definitely got to be something I do and I'm committed to for the rest of my life. And as you know, I mentioned, finding charities that are meaningful to me and to the community around me mm-hmm. and being able to see the impact immediately on the children, mm-hmm. on the parents mm-hmm. is something that has ingrained it into me for life.
So at what point did you think that it has helped you accelerate your career? Clearly, it's like a twofer. You get to, you know, feed the soul and help accelerate your career. So in what way did it help you?
Well, it creates a bond with people when I meet them, especially within industry and government. I mean, the mission of FCA Bethesda is to bring together government and industry, but we also have a mission to give back. And so it does. It gives me something when I'm talking to counterparts in industry or when I'm talking to counterparts in government, that everybody wants to do these things, and it gives us something to bond over mm-hmm. and really put something in together as a mission to move forward together. And so that was just a key.
So you get to give back and actually create relationships at the same time.
Absolutely.
That networking
huge
is invaluable.
Today in studio, we have Winifred Wilson, Executive Director, House of Ruth, and Shannon Hagee, Senior Vice President of Business Development at Interimage, Inc., and president for AFSEA Bethesda. Coming up, we'll hear about the mission of their organizations. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Winifred Wilson, Executive Director, House of Ruth, and Shannon Hagee, Senior Vice President of Business Development for Inner Image Incorporated and President of AFSEA Bethesda.
Shannon, many people around the Beltway have heard about AFSEA, but I'm not sure that everybody really knows the breadth of activities and the kinds of service that they do. So talk a little bit about the AFSEA mission, if you would.
So AFSEA International as a whole has well over 100 chapters. So I'm going to focus on AFSEA Bethesda, which our chapter is the only chapter that focuses on federal civilian organizations. So our key mission is bringing together government and industry to create dialogue for solutioning and IT innovation across that sector. As a secondary part of that mission, since we are a nonprofit, our regular like programs that we have about 20 programs a year, contribute to STEM education. Then we have the amazing gala, and that contributes to three charities, and that would be House of Ruth, Hope for Henry Foundation, and the Children of Fallen Soldiers Relief Fund.
And so we'll talk a little bit more about the upcoming gala coming up. But I know also that AFSEA has some activities that particularly help young professionals become kind of assimilated and connect with leaders and find mentors and that sort of thing. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, part of that goes directly into our Young AFSEANs program. And so we have, you know, I'm part of the president of the parent chapter. And then we have our Young AFSEANs, which are more of your 40 and under group, though, you know, there's some blurry lines around the 35, 40 and who is what, where. We all participate as one organization. And the president there, Christian Honer, we interact with them all the time. They have a professional development program that they're working on. We also make sure that we have the right kind of leaders in government as well on our government advisory council, and then our young government advisory council interacting to create the mentorship there. So as a whole, we make sure from the parent chapter's perspective, my board is interacting with the young AFSEANs board, and that we're mingling and all working together to improve the careers of all of ourselves, of everyone.
So it's easy for me to understand how AFSEA can help the government, because you said it yourself, you're dedicated to the mission of helping them to develop solutions around IT issues. Talk a little bit about the networking and the mentoring side and how it can help your career. How has it helped your career in particular?
Absolutely. I have developed relationships from the time that I started working with AFSEA Bethesda and back in 2007 that will be lifelong relationships. I mean, that is part of the key. They're people that have become more than work companions, more than associates, but they're friends. I mean, people that I'm more than happy to have dinner with, or I know about their kids, or I've built houses in Nicaragua with people that have been in this industry. So there's just all sorts of bonds that can be formed, and that carries over into business.
So Winifred, tell us about House of Ruth and what services they provide.
House of Ruth is a 39-year-old organization, soon to be 40.
Yeah, you're celebrating your 40th anniversary.
Absolutely,
this year.
And we're really looking forward to that. But we've been serving the District of Columbia for close to 40 years, and we really started out with Veronica Maas, who founded House of Ruth, as well as So Others Might Eat, as well as Martha's Table.
Wow.
For different reasons, but to strengthen the community and to provide services to some of the most vulnerable citizens. And as part of that, ours was the residential side. She saw many women who were on the streets, many of them because of domestic violence. And she, in concert with a couple of community people, bought a house that we have been using, and it's still there. for victims of domestic violence, and that was for single women. Over the years, we have developed into 14 different programs that serve a range of individuals who are homeless. We focus on women and women with children, primarily because that was her focus at that time and the commitment and mission of the organization. So we have a specialized child development center for preschool children who come to us, many of them not age appropriate because of their traumatic experiences. And that within that period of time, because our goal is always to work towards independence for those individuals and families, and we are able to do a good job of that. So they're with us for a short period of time, but we're able to see the progress of those young children in that special development center to prepare them to learn in school. And then we have a community-based counseling center where we can serve over 400 women a year, free of charge, who come to us for counseling around domestic violence. And the other programs are residential programs. Half of them are for single women and half are for women with children. And within that, about five of them are domestic violence programs.
Wow, you have such a long, rich history, 40 years of being integrated and supporting this community. I got to ask you, what keeps you up at night to help keep this great charity going?
I have to say that unfortunately, the numbers of announcements of domestic violence and individuals who are homeless associated with that and the children that are part of those families is very beyond disconcerting, that, you know, we would like to work ourselves out of a job. We focus really on making it short term so that people are not in our system for very long periods of time. But it is very troubling to see that there seems to be an increase now in, and perhaps it's that we're more attentive to it as an issue and that we've had high profile cases. But that's one of the things that really worries me, because associated with that is the programs and services. There are not very many programs that focus on domestic violence in the District of Columbia. And so it's very important to us to engage the larger community in a way that allows us to bond and work with them so that other people can be involved in that process. And I think that, you know, women who would not ordinarily do public speaking find it within themselves, because they're able to grow out of their experiences with us, to publicly speak at large events like the gala. And they never knew they could do it, but they step up on that stage in front of hundreds of people and tell their story. So I go from sleepless to encouraged, but I'm very keenly aware that it's not something that we could ever do alone.
Now, we're going to definitely focus on that in a few minutes and talking about the rising rates and the very scary rates mm-hmm. in regards to the nationwide crisis mm-hmm. we have with domestic violence. But I got to ask you, the influence of being in the Washington, D.C. area, does the large influence of the federal government and where you're located, does that influence the way that you run or the services that you provide?
Well, I think certainly that it allows us to work with a wide range of organizations. It's not something that we do alone. I think the collaborative efforts are important. And so I do think that being in Washington has many benefits. And it's also a challenge because it's the nation's capital. And we actually were meeting with one of the city council women last night who visited our program. Her concern was, it seems that people come to Washington from other places to get services. Why do they leave their home and come to Washington? Well, some people travel here because they can't get services where they are or to get out of town. But that one unique feature is they can get services here, because after they've been in the district for a day, you can claim citizenship. That's a odd piece, but that's a unique feature.
Well, I had a guest at my house a couple of weeks ago, and they went to go see the White House. Mm-hmm. And what was so shocked was that what they saw across the street from the White House was some homeless people living in the park. And it just shocked them to be looking at the capital of the world and looking at the White House on one side of the street.
Extremes.
And then looking at the other side.
Yes.
Winifred, in preparation for our conversation today, I did some research on the idea of domestic violence, and a couple of things were kind of surprising to me. One is some of the populations where there seemed to be higher rates, and one of those that I read an article was law enforcement, and they were this article I read said that up to what is to me a staggering 40% of law enforcement families have experienced domestic violence. Yet, police departments a lot of times ignore the problem. And then the second population I was reading about was veterans, and particularly veterans that come back and are suffering from PTSD after a deployment. And given this Washington, D.C. area and the fact that we do have obviously a lot of veterans and also law enforcement, I mean, can you talk a little bit about that and some of those pretty staggering numbers?
Well, I actually have done some work in the past with some of the veterans and armed forces to help shape programs. But at that time, I wasn't really serving. But I think it would be something that people would consider unusual for them. We don't tend to see those two trends of numbers in our programs and services. We tend to, although we have certainly seen some veterans more recently and, you know, people from those families, but we tend to see right now they are a wide range. You know, we have some professional people. We have many people who are homeless because they walk away from situations. But when we look at our trends, we don't have large numbers of those two populations. And my suspicion is we see people who have fewer resources. Those people have resources that they can walk away comfortably and not necessarily need our services.
How much of what you do is really dedicated to education? You mentioned in your previous answer to Aileen, you alluded to like high profile. And in the past year or so, there were a couple of very high profile athletes that were involved in domestic violence situations. And certainly those things bring it to light. But it's a little bit shocking when it happens where in a situation where somebody apparently has all the resources they need. And you know, you wouldn't necessarily think that they would be a part of that. So how does something like that impact House of Ruth, and how much of what you do is education to help try to prevent domestic violence and to help educate women on how they can get out of those situations?
We do a lot of work on education within the programs. And so very often those women have already come to us, and we do weekly groups. We expose them to training and educational opportunities in the community. We do a lot of work in preparation for their long-term independence. We work very closely with organizations that focus on education and advocacy, the District Coalition Against Domestic Violence in particular, because they do a lot of the public education piece. Because of the numbers that we serve over 1,000 individuals a year. Our focus is largely on the residential aspects, the social services that are necessary to help them make progress, and the education that helps them think differently about their lives and to work towards some of the traumatic events that they've experienced. But in terms of the larger community, we collaborate on those efforts, both with organizations and individuals who focus on that.
And if a woman comes into your program at House of Ruth, how long are they typically with you?
A wide range. We have, I would say the vast majority of them are there anywhere from 6 months to a year, but not beyond 18 months.
Now, Winifred, you focus on the victims of domestic violence. Is there many programs out there to help, you know, the perpetrator of domestic violence to learn how to either stop or hopefully even prevent the cycle? I know a lot of times it has to do with children that have watched it in their own homes, and then they feel it's the norm. So do you know of any programs out there that will help break this horrible trend we see?
Yes, we like to talk about survivors, and I'm sure my advocate friends would want me to say, while, you know, people have been victims, that they are also survivors very much because they are moving on and they're working very hard towards that. As far as the perpetrators are concerned, we recently have started to develop groups for men, both perpetrators as well as survivors. And through our counseling center, there are very few services for the perpetrator, and that is a critical issue.
Today in the studio, we have Winifred Wilson, Executive Director, House of Ruth, and Shannon Hagee, Senior Vice President of Business Development at InterImage and President for AFSEA Bethesda. Coming up, we'll ask Winifred and Shannon about the upcoming gala and about mentorship and networking. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Winifred Wilson, Executive Director of House of Ruth, and Shannon Hagee, Senior Vice President of Business Development at InterImage Incorporated and President of AFSEA Bethesda.
So Shannon, I understand that AFSEA is going to be hosting a gala. We've talked about it a couple times. That's going to help the House of Ruth and a few other organizations. So tell us a little bit about the gala. How many years have you been doing it? And what can people look forward to?
Okay. So the gala will be coming up on April 9th, 2016, and it will be our 18th year. So really, it's got a long history, and we're just building on that with great charities moving forward. I've personally been involved for 6 years, and in the last year, 2 years, I've had the privilege and honor of getting to really know our three charities that we support, House of Ruth being one, and we'll talk about the other two later. Some of the great things about the gala, though, I mean, all the proceeds go directly to the charities. That's what it's about. It'll be somewhere around 800 people that attend this, and 100 or so from government and the rest from industry. And it really is a night of joy and fun and celebration to support the children. It is a night for the children gala for a reason. And it is all about the children of these organizations. A lot of our fundraising efforts are done through a couple of different things. We have, of course, our standard sponsorships that people can get anywhere from $2,000 to $25,000, some of which are exclusive and they come with all sorts of benefits. We have a really wonderful live auction and a silent auction that we try to make very unique every year. We'll have items that are done with the children by professional artists that are part of the live auction and some really wonderful packages. And then we also have a new thing that we started. It's a golf ball drop, which was very exciting. Last year was the first year we did this, and they dropped 200 golf balls from a helicopter onto a green at a golf course. And the closest to the pin wins. And what it is it's $20,000, and it gets $10,000 goes to the charities, $10,000 to the person. Though I will say, almost every time they give the money back, and it's announced live. Like, nobody knows who owns that golf ball with that number on it until the night of the charity.
So I understand that this theme for this year's gala is Everyone Can Be a Hero. And it's intended, as you mentioned, to promote health and welfare and education for children and their families. So talk to me a little bit about that concept of everyone being a hero, an everyday hero. What does an everyday hero look like? And Shannon, you can start, and then Winifred may have a thought on that as well.
Well, and I think we have to take this personally. I know that I do, and the people within the industry and community that I work with do. And when we talk about everyone can be a hero, it really is down to the big things and the small things. On a daily basis, how can I change a child's life? What can I do? Whether it's donating my time, donating my talent, or donating treasure, as we say, to support children or families and make their lives better, progressively move them forward. I think specifically when I think about House of Ruth and the heroes there, it's the mothers that take their children out of these very tough situations, and it takes a lot of bravery and courage to do that. And then the children also being heroes by facing every single day with, you know, but having the support and being able to learn at the House of Ruth in places like Kidspace.
Winifred, do you have anything to add to that?
I would say certainly starting with the individuals that are members of FCIA, because when I think of not just the gala, but the other events that we've been to and participated, they are so excited. They are so passionate about giving, and they care so much about what's going on in the community. And the fact that they, as an organization, have made that commitment to the community, I think that's wonderful. And that is big picture. But we also have like the everyday heroes that walk into House of Ruth in the district and insist on doing something for the women and children. And they sometimes call ahead, sometimes they just come, but they feel strongly, they've read about it, they've experienced it, and they want to make a difference. And then not the least of which are the women and children that Shannon is mentioning here today, because they are the ones who are in the middle of it and taking the big step to make a dramatic change in their lives and the lives of their children.
Shannon, you mentioned there's two other charities that are being supported through the gala. I think their names are Hope for Henry and the Children of Fallen Soldier Relief Fund. Tell us a little bit about those two charities.
Yes, so we do support three charities with this gala, and the other two, you're correct, the Hope for Henry Foundation and the Children of Fallen Soldiers Relief Fund. All three of our charities focus on the health, welfare, and education of children. Hope for Henry Foundation, they mostly are based out of hospitals. They do over 200 events a year that try and bring some normalcy to the lives of children that are living in the hospitals with cancer and don't get to have the everyday celebrations or experiences. And these can be kids that are very young all the way up through high school age. And they've developed programs to help these children deal with the medical treatments that they're getting and really, you know, make them feel better and their families, you know, because the parents go through a lot too when your child is living in the hospital. The Children of Fallen Soldiers Relief Fund has a number of programs that they do, one of which being their education and scholarships that they provide for children that have lost a family member or parent in the Iraq, Afghanistan, or Gulf Wars. They also have some other education enrichment type programs that they do for younger children to just help them deal with the stress and tragedy that that can bring. So I think when, you know, we looked at the three charities kind of as a whole to make sure we're covering those pillars of health, welfare, and education across the board and really impacting the lives of local children in our communities on a daily basis.
What fantastic three charities. You also have to note that all three charities, Hope for Henry, House of Ruth, and the Children of Fallen Soldiers Relief Fund are headed by women executives. This past April, Forbes magazine ran an article, and it was titled, Why Women CEOs Thrive in Nonprofits. It states that women in leadership positions, you know, let's face it, let's look at the Fortune 500. Leadership positions for women in the Fortune 500 are very few, but yet they thrive and almost are in abundance on nonprofits. Why do you think that's true? Winifred, what do you think that is?
I've seen increasingly more men in there as well. Maybe it became interesting after we did a lot of that work, but I think that really, I believe that as women, we are able to identify needs and respond quickly to them and have ideas for how to address it. And as such, very often we're founding these organizations and we are, you know, leading them, following other women because of the nature of the programs and services. But I think there's a passion that comes along with that that may just be a natural part of our nurturing with the business angle.
So you mean like women don't only want to lead, but they also want to make a difference.
Absolutely.
Shannon, do you agree?
I absolutely agree. And as I said, I got to spend a lot of time with Winifred and the founders of the other charities. And one of the things that I found is that desire, whether they've been through something tragic or not, even in my own life, that desire based on, you know, watching what has happened to others and sometimes the pain there to give back and to help other people heal. And I found that in all three of the founders of these charities or the women that are leading these charities. And it's just been a fantastic experience to be associated with them.
Today in the studio, we have Winifred Wilson, Executive Director, House of Ruth, and Shannon Hagee, Senior Vice President of Business Development at InterImage and President for AFSEA Bethesda. Coming up, we'll ask Shannon and Winifred how doing good can also help you to do well. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
This is Executive Editor Jason Miller. Follow me on Twitter to get the inside track on IT, management, and contracting news that matters the most to federal executives. At JMillerWFED.
Welcome back. You're listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Winifred Wilson, Executive Director, House of Ruth, and Shannon Hagee, Senior Vice President of Business Development at InterImage Incorporated and President of AFSEA Bethesda.
For both of you ladies, I know that when you support activities like we've been discussing, nonprofits and with events like the gala, much of your work comes after hours, right? It's not just a 9-to-5 job. It's the networking. It's the going to the events. And I've heard from other leaders of nonprofits say that their professional life and their personal life just totally become merged. So Shannon, I'll start with you. Is that true for you, or have you somehow managed to keep them separate?
Oh, they're absolutely merged. But I enjoy that. So it's not a bad thing. It's a very positive thing. As Winifred had said earlier, you need to make sure to make time for yourself. But at the same time, some of those after hours networking events are time for myself.
Absolutely. What sort of other things do you like to do when you do truly have time by yourself and for yourself?
Well, I don't know how to do anything that doesn't turn into a competition. So right now I play competitive billiards.
Oh, really?
For fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
And where do you do that? Is there a local billiard
Just some
club?
Local team stuff in the area.
And so you're a pool shark.
No, I wouldn't say that. It's not what you see on TV. But it's something that I can do without having to think too much about the day-to-day, you know, what am I going to do every day for my job, or what am I going to do for this charity for 3 hours after work. I can just go, you know, look at the strategy on a table, be the strategist, and enjoy that.
It's funny, so many of the women that we talk to, when we ask that question, I'm always surprised by the answer, because there's such unique and interesting things. And often it's just something that's what I consider way out in left field that you never would have thought about. And what women tell us is that it's that balance of very, very different kinds of things that help to keep them balanced in life. Mm-hmm. Is that true for you as well?
Absolutely. I like to make sure that I'm mixing that up and that there's some variety in my time off when I have time off.
Winifred, how about you? I'll ask you the same question about your professional life and your personal life being merged with it, with your career not being a 9-to-5 kind of career.
It's absolutely not 9-to-5, and it is merged. And I sort of like the saying, work hard, play hard, because I think that, you know, to the extent that you enjoy what you're doing, then you're able to do a better work even. And so I definitely have similar kinds of activities, and one of them is going to some of the AFSEA events. They definitely work hard and play hard.
Now, do you have some interesting hobby like competitive billiards?
Well, no, mine's not as interesting as hers. I would just say I love the arts and tennis.
Okay, well, that's great.
You have to have some good physical activity.
Absolutely.
Ladies, you've enjoyed such a successful personal, professional career. Is there anything that if you went back to your younger self, let's say when you were 18 or just, you know, graduating from college, is there any pieces of advice you wish you had at that time? Winifred, what about you?
I think I said it earlier. I was concerned about making mistakes, and so very high anxiety and not feeling the comfort of just exploring. And I would just say the part about being fearless. Use wisdom, but be fearless.
Shannon, what about you?
Well, again, I would go back to some of the things that I said early about giving selflessly, but I didn't take a typical path of high school, college. I actually gave myself some time between where I went from the hard sciences into business. And that's where I think I learned to fight for my passions and really believe in them. And when I take that back to my youth and my family and my mother and watching her work so hard to support our family, but yet being blessed by being in a loving, compassionate family was something that I learned not to take for granted. So in some ways, fighting for my passions, but making sure I don't take anything for granted that I have today, you know, that is a wonderful thing to have.
That's a wonderful thought.
We've been talking with Winifred Wilson, Executive Director, House of Ruth, and Shannon Hagee, Senior Vice President of Business Development at InterImage and President for AFSEA Bethesda. You can learn more about AFSEA at their website, afseabethesda.org, and more about the gala at anightforthechildren.org. You can also learn more about the House of Ruth at houseofruth.org. I'm Gigi Shum.
I'm Aileen Black.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Women of Washington with Aileen Black and Gigi Shum on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Women of Washington on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.